Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go to East Haven Baptist Church," but I want to go with them. Not the choir, but that group that's leaving out of here. They are my people, the little people. And it's so wonderful to be here and worship with y'all. I am thrilled to be here and to share a word of God, but I'm so thrilled that your pastor's not here today. If he was here, I wouldn't be able to preach. But I love him, and I know that you have fallen in love with him, and what a joy it is to have the privilege. I'm glad that he's away getting rest and they're having some time together. But I'm thankful that I get to be with y'all today and to share a word from God's word today. It is, boy, this is a good-looking crowd. Last time I was here, it was a bunch of ugly people. But apparently, they've all gone and joined First Baptist or something, because all the good-looking people, it's just good-looking people here today. And all God's people said, "Amen." You got that right. It is wonderful to be here with you. I mean that. And Brother Kenny, thank you for not introducing me and telling a bunch of stuff, because ain't nobody cares anything about that. If you can preach, you can preach. If you can't preach, they say, "He lied." So I just want to share a word of God with you, and all of us, let the Lord speak to our hearts. What an exciting thing to see these kids that are here. What an exciting thing to see the young people. One of them baptized this morning. I don't know how many of you came by here and saw the 700 that were gathered out here meet me at the pole, and they came out here at the close of day and worshiped together. I want to tell you, that is no insignificant thing. You didn't see that on the news. Nobody cared about anything like that. But God did, and God does. You keep encouraging those young people, and they need to keep encouraging you, all of us. Now, I want to preach for about, I just have this morning to preach, and so I'm going to preach for about an hour and a half. Don't encourage me. I'm telling you, some of you said, "Don't encourage him." No, I want to share with you one verse of Scripture from the Bible. But before we get to that one verse, if I was your pastor and I came to a time and, you know, I just felt led to preach on the great chapters in the Bible. Now think about that. The great chapters in the Bible. I mean, there are hundreds of chapters in the Bible. Some of them mean more to you than others do. But if I was going to preach a series, let's just say maybe a dozen of the great chapters in the Bible, what chapters would you say, "You got to preach on that"? Just think about it. What would be a chapter that you think that if I was going to do that, I'm not going to do that this morning, but if I was going to do that, what? Tell me, this is the participatory part of the sermon, and you're going to have to answer me, or I'm going to stand up here till you do. What chapter would you want? Just raise your hand and I'll recognize you. One chapter that you would include in the script. All right?
Faith.
What?
Faith chapter.
I know what it is. I'm just going to see what y'all knew if it what it was. Hebrews chapter 11. And it would take me 1 year to preach through Hebrews chapter 11. The faith chapter. Who else has got a chapter that you say you need to preach on that? Right here. Psalm 1, what?
John 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, and I'm not going to preach on it, but you couldn't leave out John chapter 1. What would you say? What? You're going to have to speak up.
Timothy 1.
What?
1st,
which, oh, the whole book of 1 Timothy, or Timothy chapter 1. I would preach on that. Over here, is any of y'all, well, way over here.
Acts 13.
Acts 13. Is that what you said? I don't even know what that is, so you're going to have to preach on that. I know what Acts chapter 13 is. Then I will include it just for you. Somebody else got one. What? Where did you got one?
Romans
chapter 8. Some people say is the greatest chapter in the whole Bible. And there is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation to him that is in Christ Jesus. Man. And it goes on down. And I'll quote some of the chapter, but I'm not going to preach on it today. And yeah, one more. I'm just going to take three, and I've already gone over. Over here.
James chapter 1.
James chapter 1. My soul and body. What a... I'm telling you, y'all know some Bible, and it is fantastic. But you haven't called the name of the chapter of the book that I'm going to preach from. Do I continue until you name it? But if you have your Bibles, open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would tell you this, if I was going to preach on the great chapters of the Bible, I could not leave out chapter 13, which is the love chapter. But I couldn't leave out chapter 15, and I want you to just look at chapter 15, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It is a long chapter, but I want you to look at it and just realize that this is the greatest chapter in the entire Bible on the resurrection of Jesus. And what it means to you, and what it means to me, the resurrection of Jesus. And it begins in chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I have declared unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And he goes on and spends this whole chapter on the resurrection, that every one of us who know Christ, we're not going to die, we're going to live forever. And it's the greatest chapter in the Bible on the resurrection. So if Brother Howell's going to preach on great chapters of the Bible, tell him to put this book in there. Chapter 15, the resurrection of Jesus. And it says in there, just look at verse 26. It says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, and he's talking about Jesus' resurrection. And look at verse 53, and it says, and this corruptible shall be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And he's talking about the resurrection. You're going to live forever. You're not going to live here forever. The Bible says it's a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And sometimes we think about dying, but the Bible says that the child of God is not going to ever die. We're going to live forever. But that's not what I want to preach on this morning. But if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice this. That the whole chapter is about the resurrection except one verse. And Paul is talking about, boy, we're going to be with him forever and forever. And these mortal bodies are going to put on immortality. And these corruptible bodies are going to put on incorruption. And we're going to live with him forever. And then there's one verse in this chapter that doesn't have anything to do with the resurrection, really. It has something to do with right now in your life. And it's the last verse. Look at the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I think that the Spirit of God that was guiding the Apostle Paul to write this great chapter on the resurrection, that when he was writing that, he came to the end of the chapter, and it was as though the Spirit of God said, you know, there may be people over there in Corinth who are having a tough time. There may be Christians over there that are going through a difficult time in their life. There may be a time when the world is filled with war and discouragement, and the Christians are not going through good times, they're going through difficult times. And after he writes this great chapter on the resurrection that we're going to experience in Christ, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's talking about your relationship to Jesus right this moment. And I want you to get that. He was talking to the Corinthians, and he was talking to East Haven. He was talking to me. Boy, there's a difficult days in our world. We get up and go to bed with war going all around the world. And we hear all the bad news coming at us in every direction all day long. And we get discouraged, and we get sometimes encouraged, and we get down. But the Bible says that that's not what we're fixed on. We're God's people. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's a fascinating thing. Be ye steadfast. Literally, don't let anything move you away from Jesus. Don't let anything move you away from the faith. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, knowing that your works are not going to be in vain in the Lord. We went through COVID a few years ago, and I'll never forget where I was preaching at the time. I was just filling in at a church, and they asked me if there wasn't anybody there. Well, I mean, our churches were shutting down, and there wasn't anybody there but me and a few singers that sang, and everything was live stream, and nobody was getting together. I'll never forget when a few people started coming back, and I was still preaching there at that church. Everybody had to stay away from each other. We didn't get close to each other, and it was just a strange time in the world. I'm telling you, it was a strange time in our churches, and you remember that. It was going on all around us, there are people to this day who have never come back. They stopped coming. And even when they go everywhere else, but they didn't come to church. Might get near somebody that's got one of them viruses, you know. Well, I imagine there's some of y'all look sick, I can tell you that, but I'm kidding you. But I just want you to know, these are strange times. And we go through a lot of difficulties. And sometimes it just seems that everything is topsy-turvy and upside down and crossways in our world. I think about a pilot in the Air Force. He crashed his plane and asked him to write up. He lived through it and asked him to write up what took place when he crashed his jet. And this is what he wrote. I want you to listen. He wrote and he said, after a catastrophic engine failure, I landed long. And having no power, there was no landing gear that could be deployed, and no braking was possible. I bounced over a stone wall at the end of the runway, hit the trailer of a truck that was passing by on the road, crashed through a guard fence on the other side, grazed a large tree, ran into a tractor that was parked out there in the field, and then I hit a tree. Then I lost control. All that just to get to be out of control. Sometimes you and I get to those points. And the Apostle Paul knows whenever we get down and out and things aren't going right in our life and in maybe our family's life and maybe our marriage and maybe not in our work and maybe not in our... You make the list as long as you want to. And the Apostle Paul closes out the great chapter on the resurrection by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the wake of the word of the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you gotten away from the Lord sometimes and it's not as close a walk as you used to have? Well, today I want to invite you to come and listen to what Paul is saying right here. A few years ago, a friend of mine who was a businessman there in Jackson, he built a new business place for his business, and he was so proud of it, and I had seen it going up not too far from where I live, and he said, come by and see me sometime. I want you to see my building, and he wanted to take me around what they were doing there. And I said, well, I'll stop by there one afternoon and just spend some time with you. I'd be glad to. And so one afternoon, I was on the way home, and I pulled up there in their parking lot. And as I was walking in the parking lot over toward the building, it was a magnificent building. I saw it. It was just going up, and it was really nice. And as I was walking over there, something caught my eye out of the corner of my eye. And I looked up. And it was a great big bird. It looked like an eagle or something, full wingspread, and it was coming in like it was coming right in on me. Apparently, thinking that's a good landing spot. And so that bird was coming in toward me, and I was fixing to dive. And it was a red-tailed hawk, is what it was. Beautiful bird. And as he was coming in toward my head, he went over me. And I watched him as he flew over me, and he was going to that new building that had just opened a few weeks earlier. And it didn't have regular shingles on there. I don't know what they're called. But it had these kind of modern shingles, some kind of fiberglass or something that looked like old tin roof. You know what I'm talking about? If you understand, nod your head. The rest of you will meet in a special meeting to help you understand. But it was a slick roof. And this red-tailed hawk, great big thing, thought he was just going to land on top of that roof. And I'm standing there watching him as he went over me and he hit that roof and he had his talons out, and he was grabbing hold for everything he could, and there wasn't nothing to grab hold of. And he's sliding back down, backwards, coming down that roof. And I thought, son, you are having a bad day, I'm telling you. And as he slid down that roof, it was fascinating to watch because he hit a vent pipe backwards. And it stopped him, and his wings were out there, and he wasn't clawing as much because it just dead stopped him. And I'm standing there watching him because it was really a strange thing. And my message today for you is the two words that I hollered at him. They're right out of this passage of Scripture. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, regardless of what's going on. And I hollered at that old red-tailed hawk, and I said, hang on! And he heard me, but he didn't speak English. But he's up there on that building, and he still got his wings out there because he didn't know what was going to happen next, and he's hugged up against that vent pipe at the back. What do you do when you get in a place that you're getting away from the Lord? And you're really down in your heart, down in your spirit. And maybe difficulties are going on all around you and you wonder, does God even know or even care? Or even other people know or care? And there you are. Well, I want you to just listen to the Apostle Paul as he says, hang on. Don't give up. Hang on. I want to give you three things for you to do. One is this. Relax. And watch that bird. And you know what he did? He realized he wasn't going to, he thought he was fixing to die right there. I was reading his mind. And he realized he wasn't sliding anymore. And he looked around and he pulled his wings in there a little bit. And he looked down there at me like, I meant to do that. And he was just, and he stayed right in position. But you know what he began to do? What I'm asking you to do is relax. God is still on his throne. And I don't care what's happening on this side of the world or the other side of the world, or who's going to be elected in November. I don't care what those things. I know that's important, but I want you to know that God is still on his throne. And you and I need to relax in him. And it was Jesus who said, not Jim, but Jesus who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I mean, you are about to break your back with all of the needs that are in your life, and I do understand. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will bring rest unto your soul. Jesus said, would you listen to me? Would you listen to me and do what I'm asking you to do? Come to me and walk with me, and I will pull you. I will be a yoke with you, and we will move forward together. Would you listen to him? Jesus wasn't telling us just to work harder. Jesus was asking us to relax in him. And I see people that hadn't relaxed in so long about their life or their work or their walk with Jesus, and they let something knock them off course, get them out of a walk with God. And today I want you to know you just need to stop and relax and turn back to where the wonder of Jesus will flood your soul once again. Relax. I was preaching over in Alabama some years ago, and the people in the church said, we were talking, we'd like to show you something in our cemetery. It's just a small community there in Alabama where I was preaching. And they said, we want to show you a grave marker out there. And I said, well, okay. He said, I think you'd enjoy seeing it. I don't go around graveyards just wanting to see something. But anyway, I said, I would love to. So, well, they took me out there, about six or seven of them. And it wasn't but about a block from where we were at the church. We went out there, and we walked over there, and they wanted to see my expression whenever they showed me this grave marker. It was a great big marker. And I walked up there, and it had the guy's name on there. And it said J.A. Northington was his name. J.A. Northington, the date of his birth and the date of his death. And then he had written a message to anybody that would come by there and read it. And that's what they wanted me to see. And so I walked up there and it said, J.A. Northington, the date of birth and date of death. And it said, from the time you were born till you ride in a hearse, there's nothing so bad that it might not have been worse, so smile. And you know what those people were doing? They were standing around there waiting on me to smile. And I grinned like an old mule, you know. And I just stood there and I did what he asked me to do. From the time you're born till you ride in a hearse, there's nothing so bad that it might not have been worse, so smile. And I'm asking you to smile. Thank you. And I stood there and smiled. I stood there and looked at it again. And I figured up, looking at the time he was born and the time he was dead, he's 93 years old when he died. And as they were standing around there talking about him, the people who knew him, they were telling that he died and had never been married, which explains that there are things worse than death that he never experienced. Don't laugh too big at that, men. No. That's not a good thing. Don't even grin at that. But I'm asking you to trust the Lord. From the time you're born till you ride in a hearse, there's nothing so bad that it might not have been worse. So smile and trust him. I was pastor in Fort Worth, Texas for a number of years, and I'll never forget we had a drought in Texas. In fact, I think it's always a drought in Texas. But we had a serious drought, just like we had here last year, but it was worse than what we had. The ground opens up, and it was just like going to swallow everybody. It was so dry. It had gone week after week, month after month, and we didn't even have a sprinkle, not even a sprinkle. I'd never seen anything like it. And they would tell you to water your house and all around your house. So it pulls back so the ground is just weird. And so I was worrying about the drought and what it's going to do to everybody. And the drought. And that's all you heard on the news all the time. And there's an old rancher that was in our church, and one Sunday, everybody's leaving, and he was coming out and putting his cowboy hat on, and as he was coming out, I said, what do you think about this drought? He kind of shrugged his shoulders, and he didn't say anything. And this old guy said, you think it'll ever rain again? You know what he said? Always has, and he walked off. He wasn't going to fool with me. You think it's going to rain again? Do you think God has gone out of business? You are wrong. And what Paul is writing in this last verse of the great resurrection chapter wasn't just for folks in Corinth that may have needed help to stay faithful to God. But he wanted them to relax, to know that God is on his throne. And the greatest things that will ever take place in kingdom work has yet to come when he wrote this. You may think that nothing good is going to happen. But I'm here today to tell you, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you do know in your head and in your heart, your work is not in vain in the Lord. Why don't you get in the work of God here with both feet planted in his faith? Why don't you say, Lord, I want to do, and you can relax every day. He's going to guide you and use you if you will let him. So relax. But that's not all. I want to encourage you to relax in what Jesus said for us too. And the second thing is, I want you to renew. Renew. You say, what do you mean renew? Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say, for we know. In Romans chapter 8, he writes and he says, a great verse many of you know. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what somebody did. I don't care where they're going. I don't care what mess we've got going on in our world. We know that all things work together for good to him that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. He will stay with you. We know. We are the people that know. The folks in Washington, D.C. don't know. People who are scholars don't know. The world that we are in part of now, so many don't know. But we know that God is going to lead us if we will yield our lives to him. Would you listen to me? Because I looked up there at that old red-tailed hawk. And after he kind of relaxed, the strangest thing. All this happened in about 1 minute's time. It's going to take me an hour to tell you. But that old red-tailed hawk, you know what he did? He started scooting around. He was facing up, and he started scooting around. And he looked down there at me, and he would have blushed, but he was already a red-tailed hawk. So he didn't blush. But he turned around, and he was looking at me and seeing if anybody else was watching. And you know what? He began to realize he was in good hands. He's okay. Nothing was broken. Everything was taken care of, even as the Lord takes care of the little sparrows out there. He takes care of the red-tailed hawks. And he began to realize that maybe there's a future in his life and yours also. So relax. And I want you to renew. How long has it been since you've had a renewing experience with Jesus that you just wanted to get more involved than you've ever been in your life? And he wants you to. You see, there's not one thing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8. What can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation or destruction or... And he goes on and he names an endless series of things of which you may have in your life. And he goes on and he says, shall death or life or angels or principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You are in his hands. Trust him. And I know that sometimes we need to hear the word that says, just let him envelop you and you be renewed. Renewed in the Lord. And so that old red-tailed hawk, all of a sudden, I was watching him. I didn't move. And I stood there and I was looking at him. And he, you know, when he got turned around, he kind of stuck his chest out, flapped his wings once, and he looked like, man, I meant to do that. And it's just, I was wanting to know if he was watching. And so I'm watching him, and he just seemed to be renewed. May I tell you that that's the reason the Lord brings you together, us. What he says in his word is not just something the Baptist church is throwing out there. You need to be in church. No. Oh, I know, you can watch a live stream from your church. You don't have to come. You don't have to be here. Oh, but wait a minute. You may need to be here for what God wants to say directly to you in the midst of his people. And more than that, rather than you coming and just getting your blessing, he wants you to be the blessing. And you can't just sit at home and ignore what God's doing in the midst of his people and be the blessing that he wants you to be. How many dads here, not faithful to church maybe? Maybe not even been here today. You can't be the influence over your children without you showing them what it's like to walk with Jesus and live for Him. Thank you for being here. Grandparents, thank you for being here. Newlyweds, thank you for being here. Young people, thank you for being here. For those of you who lead in worship, thank you for being here. And you can't do any of those things and the influence that God has given you if you don't let Him renew you. And so, I think Paul is telling us to relax and to renew. And finally, to resume. To resume. You know what that hawk did? Just stand there and watch him. He turned around when he got his breath and saw everything was okay. He spread those beautiful long wings of his and flapped them a time or two and lifted himself up off of that and started sailing right back over me toward the tree line that was out there. And I watched him till he flew out of sight. Because what he did was he turned and he resumed being what God made him to be. Now think about that. You can get away from what God intended for your life, but you'll not be joyful. You'll not experience the wonder of God at work in your life. He turned and resumed being what God had made him to be. What does He want to do with your life? I don't care what your age is. It doesn't matter how many years since you retired or... No, listen. God can use you at every stage, every moment, every need in your life if you will let Him. And that bird sailed off out there and resumed being what God made him to be. You say, well, it's too late now. Are you breathing? It's not too late. I know you may have issues and you may not be able to see the fulfillment of God it working in your life. But today, right here, God could take this little verse of Scripture and say, you've gotten pushed off to the side. Or maybe you did it to yourself. Fine. But you can get back on board with Him. And God wants to do something in your life that's wonderful and magnificent. And He's not through with you. He is not through with you. And some of the greatest blessings in your life will come if you'd simply say to Him, today, Lord, I'm trusting You. Now, I want to tell you honestly, in a vivid kind of way, today may be that kind of day for someone here, a man that maybe has gotten away from walking with God and you haven't been the dad or the granddad or the person at church that you need to be. And God wants to use you. Why don't you just make your way to the front in a moment and come and just kneel here at one of the kneeling rails or just here at the front chairs and say, God, I'm just coming to say the rest of my life is going to be Yours. Been a long time since maybe you did something like that. Or maybe God has been leading you to come and be a part of this church and you haven't done it. And all of a sudden, in just a matter of time, it looks like a year has gone by or maybe a year or two has gone by and God has said, I want you to be a part of this fellowship. You would be such a blessing to them. Why don't you come and bring your membership and your life to join with the life of this life here at this church? Or maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. How many days have you lived? How many days have you lived? How many times has God come and spoken to your heart in a significant way that today you need to give your life to Christ? And you say, I'm going to. But you still have not gotten around to saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, my Lord, and lead me in every step of my life. Today is that day. This is the place, and this is the opportunity for you to say yes to Him. Would you do that? There'll be people here at the front to welcome you, to pray with you, to celebrate with you. As God is doing something in your life, would you just let the Lord have His way in you and do what He's asking you to do? It may be you have great memories of going to church, maybe with your mom and dad, maybe early days in your life, maybe times that you just had great experiences, but you've gotten so far away from that. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this verse and said, no, hang on. He's not through with you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do in this time, what you do in this invitation is nothing insignificant. It is God at work in our lives here today. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in church today, to be here at East Haven and to feel the presence of the living God here among us. Lord, I pray that you would bless this invitation time. May it not just be a song that we sing to conclude the service. May it be a wonderful moment of response to you to say, Lord, you've spoken to me and I want to do what you've asked me to do. Lord, bless this invitation, for we ask in Jesus' wonderful and powerful name. Amen. We're going to sing together. And it's not just a sing to end the service. It's the song to say yes to Jesus. And as I watched that old bird fly off above the trees, I could not do what he did, but he could. And you may put up all the excuses in the world why you don't do what God is asking you to do. But God will work in your life and you will be blessed the rest of your days if you will say yes today to Him. We're going to stand together and sing. And as we do, would you let God have His way in your life today and just make your way down one of these aisles? Say yes to Jesus and come right now. As we sing, come.